Good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Saturday, July 11th, 2015. You are listening to Studio 7 live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Kip Stube. Here are our top stories this evening. A minister of religion says most Zimbabweans are concerned about the disappearance of Itai Zamara, who was abducted by unknown assailants 4 months ago.
The inner peace, the inner conviction of the Holy Spirit tells me that he's alive. But if he, suppose he's dead, this is what we want to push the government to come out in the open.
Peace clubs are transforming the lives of some Zimbabweans once exposed to political violence. And thousands of people are expected to attend the funeral of the late music icon David Masondo tomorrow. A minister of religion says most Zimbabweans are concerned about the disappearance of Itai Zamara, who was abducted by unknown assailants 4 months ago. Bishop Anselimo Magaya of Grace Ablaze Ministries International, who has been heading a team organizing a prayer meeting for the missing Occupy Africa Unity Square leader, tells Studio 7, prayer heals wounded souls.
Declaring and decreeing the need for Zamara to be set free. That is the first impact. But secondly, obviously, as a church leader personally, I am an opinion shaper and an opinion leader. And the moment that people hear me speak about matters of justice from a biblical perspective, obviously people begin to appreciate the role of the church in crises such as we are in.
What could be the role of the church in such crises?
To advocate for justice is to really speak on behalf of those that cannot really speak for themselves. The role of the church is to reprimand the powers that be where they miss the point on matters of justice and peace. We are committed to the security of person. So we are saying when such is under threat, the church cannot be quiet.
There are some historical conflicts between the church and the state. And in this case, are you not attracting some kind of, you know, attack from the state?
Yeah, well, that has always been the order, even in the Bible. Men of God like Jeremiah, men of God like Amos, who would always attract such. So if we, you know, why else we don't aim to do so? We don't do so for purposes of attracting such whatever conflict. But when it happens in our pursuit of justice, then let it be so.
So do you still think that Mr. Zamara is alive?
Something in me tells me so. We cannot be absolutely sure, but something in me tells me that I think he is still alive.
What is that something, Bishop?
Yeah, well, the inner peace, the inner conviction of the Holy Spirit tells me that he's alive. But if he, suppose he's dead, this is what we want to push the government to come out in the open. And if he's dead, they are responsible in one way or the other because he has not been protected and they have not done enough that they are supposed to do, as I say, in their machinery.
So now, do you prophesize or you are not that kind of bishop?
Well, see, prophecy, yes, I do biblical prophecy where I speak the word of God, in its relevance. But I'm not titled. I don't have that title of prophet as of now. That's just not my title. I'm simply a man of God. I'm a bishop. I speak relevance of the word of God into situations.
And what
my
yes.
understanding is that sometimes I become prophetic. Yes.
What is your prophecy in this kind of scenario?
You see, the prophecy that is required in this case is actually a prophecy that looks into the word of God and says the injustices that are happening, and then you apply the word of God in that situation. And when you do that, you are actually prophetically speaking into the situation.
That was Bishop Anselimo Magaya of Grace Ablaze Ministries International speaking with Studio 7 from Harare. Peace clubs are transforming some lives of Zimbabweans once exposed to political violence. At least 200 people were killed and others maimed and displaced before the 2008 presidential rerun, which was boycotted by MTC leader Moken Tswangirai, who claimed that the ZANU-PF party was cracking down on his supporters after he defeated President Robert Mugabe in the first round. Studio 7 Sandra Nyaire speaks to Hill Zimbabwe's Rashid Mahia and Emelda Muriro of Masvingo about the impact of these clubs on communities.
Communities identify specific projects in the community that are important for the development of the community. For example, when Buera and the communities were busy repairing a road, they are repairing a road because that road services everyone in the community, regardless of their political or religious affiliation. So when the communities see a need, they identify that they can work together on that platform and discuss issues of peace in that platform. Understanding that conflict is an important component of our lives. We need conflicts in our lives. What is important is how do we work on conflicts? How do we deal with it? We've also been able to work with the church, right? The church has been an important player during the members, because they've been able to mobilize people in the communities to come together. We also have been working with traditional leaders in the communities. They have the authority to be able to ask people to come to work on a community project. So these members have the intention of reviving the sense of community. These members have the intention of reviving the sense of ubuntu, umwedu as a people. So sometimes before this partisan polarization that took place, communities would feel for each other. Communities would work together in terms of strife, in terms of mourning, in terms of happiness. That is what defines us as Zimbabweans.
Gogo Imelda, what would you really want the politicians, and in particular the churches and organizations coming to you to preach about peace, what would you want them to really do for your communities?
You know, we would like that we all, you know, attend. For instance, those who came to us, you know, they are uniting us in the word of God. If we are united and look at ourselves as we used to do a long time ago, that, you know, when you see a person, you respect a person according to the age or whatever. And then if we start respecting one another, if we start respecting the work done by others, then I think things will go ahead. As we are doing a project, we want to involve everybody, Christian, non-Christian, political, non-political, so that we learn to love one another as we used to do. Love is the only way that is going to heal the wounds of this country.
That was Rashid Mahia of Hill Zimbabwe and Masungo inhabitant Imelda Muriro speaking with Studio 7 Sandra Nyaira.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Every year, the U.S. State Department prepares detailed reports assessing respect for human rights around the world. The reports, required by law, evaluate how the governments of every country and a number of territories demonstrate respect for human dignity and individual freedoms. Lawmakers, as well as authorities in the executive branch, use the reports to help shape our nation's foreign policies. They also signal to the human rights defenders and activists under siege that our government recognizes their struggle and stands with them. There has been some improvement in the human rights picture in Vietnam, but many concerns remain. The most significant human rights problems there were severe government restrictions on citizens' political rights, particularly their right to change their government through free and fair elections, limits on citizens' civil liberties, including freedom of assembly and expression, and inadequate protection of citizens' due process rights, including protection against arbitrary detention. On January 1st, the President signed and promulgated significant amendments to the Constitution, including a dedicated chapter on human rights, and the government is debating the legal reforms to implement laws to reflect these constitutional changes. We understand that every country, including the United States, has room to improve on human rights. We are committed to the work of advancing universal rights, building the partnerships that will move us forward, helping every man, woman, and child live up to their potential. We will continue to work with the Vietnamese government and people to advocate for greater respect for human rights in Vietnam. In cases of nations such as Vietnam, we are also committed to speaking out for those unable to do so for themselves.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Now it's time for the Women's Forum.
Welcome to the Women's Forum. I'm Praxedes Jeremiah, standing in for Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. This evening, we are talking to Pastor Letina Jeranyama, a professional woman living in America. I caught up with Jeranyama at a recent women's conference in Cincinnati, Ohio.
I am a woman that loves the Lord a lot, and I have a passion for women. Here in America, I started a non-profit 501c organization. It's called the Interdenominational Women of Faith. In that organization, we work with the community of especially women from different countries in Africa, from Southern Africa, Zimbabwe, South Africa, Malawi, Ghana, Cameroon. Pretty much most of them are represented in the Women of Faith. And we have four pillars of our mission. One is to encourage the women to grow spiritually and to get close to the Lord, because I'm a pastor too. And then secondly, is to empower the women educationally. We noticed that our women were suffering from diabetes and high blood pressure, and we had a health forum to educate women, because those things are controllable and those things can be avoided. So we empower women by having educational seminar, financial seminar. Like, we were told that there is whole life insurance, an insurance that can support you now while you are still alive and not wait. Even how to deal with kids in the diaspora. It's not easy raising our kids. We want them to know the Zimbabwean or the African in them. So we even started a program of teaching our little ones from scratch the mother language, either Shona or Ndebele, whatever the preference is. And then the third thing is the Women of Faith. The forum is to support women. We rejoice with those who are rejoicing. Like, if you graduate, also there might be a funeral here or back home. We are there. We stand with you. Then the fourth thing, we're doing projects back home in Africa. And some of the things is to support orphans, to support widows. We also partnered with the USCAF in New York to send all school supplies, clothing, whatever a kid needs for school. So we've been doing that for the past 2 years.
How do you integrate that with your family life? You're married and you've got kids.
When I came here, I learned to manage my time very well. I have to balance. I'm a full-time professor, I'm a pastor, and I also have this organization. With God, all things are possible. So I've come up with a schedule. I have goals in a month. This is what needs to be accomplished. And I have my to-do list on a daily basis. I know this is what I'm doing.
What would you encourage other professional women to do to cope with life in the diaspora?
There is nothing new under the sun. The challenges that you are going through, someone else has faced them, and they have had solutions. Don't be alone. Have people that you can share your problems with, that you trust, that you can confide in. Maybe find a pastor that understands you. They will not only just listen to your problems, but they will pray. And also get people that you can pray with, even sisters to sisters.
There are these kids that are coming from Zimbabwe, from Africa, and they get culture shock. Do you have anything in place that could help them integrate into the Zimbabwean community, for instance? Because we've had a disaster and took her life.
In Boston alone, we have had two girls in the past 2 years that committed suicide. So as a community, this is not just me, it's a passion. One of our community members in Boston opened up their house and called all the professionals and try and encourage these kids to integrate with the Zimbabwean communities in the state where they are. And we try and mentor them, attend to them, answer their questions, take them when they are holidays, bring them to our houses, and make sure that they have that community feel.
That was Pastor Letina Jeranyama. You've been listening to the Women's Forum. My name is Praxedes Jeremiah, standing in for Marvelous Mhlanganya Uye. Tune in next week for another edition of the Women's Forum.
The Government-Controlled Sports and Recreation Commission has been criticized for failing to deal decisively with problems bedeviling Zimbabwe's football. In our first edition of this story, we heard the views of some of those that attended parliamentary sessions of the Commission of Inquiry into the country's soccer. We have more voices today on this issue. Reporter Michael Cariati has more details.
Football consultant Tinashe Mapranga said football has become a two-man band to an extent that whoever criticizes Dube and Mashingaidze is labeled an enemy of football and is thrown out of the game or barred from attending football matches. Suspended, Zimbabwe Women's Football Chairperson Miriam Spanda concurred, saying she was refused entry into Rufaro Stadium when the Mighty Warriors were playing Ghana's Black Queens on the same accusations.
The moment you start asking, you are deemed the enemy of football. And that is why right now I am on suspension. Because since I was elected in March 2014, I have been asking, where is the money that is coming from FIFA meant for women?
Warriors kit manager Joshua Kumalo said the association has sunk so low that Zifa cannot afford to buy their own stationery.
We have an association who can't even budget to buy stationery. We say we are running football.
Zimbabwe Women's Football Association member Ben Mamoche said there was need for a complete overhaul of the Zimbabwean game for the benefit of all Zimbabweans. The chairman of the Commission of Inquiry, Moyo, said he was happy with the high turnout despite the short notice.
We are so impressed that we have this number of people and views, and we want evidence-based findings into football and possible solutions which should come from the owners of the games, who are the members of the public.
Moyo said they are going to take into consideration the views from the public and make recommendations to the SRC. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Kariati.
Thousands of people are expected to pay their last respects tomorrow to the late Soul Brothers Makanga icon David Masondo, who died last Sunday. We spoke to Ezra Chisaspanda, a music promoter and radio personality, about the late Masondo.
Listening to David Masondo and Soul Brothers music, he was a great man, a legend, loved by everyone, especially in Zimbabwe, where he appealed to everyone in Zimbabwe. In Harare, they were playing sold out crowds. In Bulawayo, the same. So the music of Soul Brothers, every time during the festive period, the Christmas time, everyone in Zimbabwe will be playing and listening to Soul Brothers. Our parents, our brothers and sisters made sure that every year they buy Soul Brothers albums. We have lost a hero, you've lost a legend, an African legend, an icon. He's sadly missed.
And you actually worked with him for a long time. Tell us a bit about that.
Yes, he was a great man. Every time he wanted somebody to run things professionally, when you're saying you're organizing a show, David will tell you the requirements of Soul Brothers. This is why Soul Brothers could go everywhere and get people without any hitches. So David Masondo will understand, even if he has a poor turnout, you understand that, no, you can pay half of it and we just cover our costs because we understand where you're coming from. So the people will demand to see Soul Brothers, will demand to see David Masondo. Whenever he goes on stage, the energy which he had entertaining the people with those vocals, nobody else, no other Makanga musician can do what David Masondo used to do during his time in music for almost over 35 years.
That was Ezra Chisaspanda, a music promoter, speaking with Studio 7 from London. We also wish to say goodbye to Masondo, an African music icon. Now to recap today's top stories. A minister of religion says most Zimbabweans are concerned about the disappearance of Itai Zamara, who was abducted by unknown assailants 4 months ago. Peace clubs are transforming the lives of some Zimbabweans once exposed to political violence. And thousands of people are expected tomorrow to attend the funeral of the late music icon David Masondo. That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Gabela with Chris Gande. This is Kip Stube in Washington. Wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.
Siyalambulela emsakazweni we Studio 7 ngomgqibelo omhla ka 11 ngoNtulikazi.